I want to read some from the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 10th chapter, beginning at the first verse, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." I read this morning. "Clothed with a cloud." Now notice that. It said that the angel, and I expressed this before, that this angel was another mighty angel. So many times we get off a track by saying the mighty angel of Revelation. But that's not the proper expression for it, because when we do that, we place it outside of the other angelic beings. See, but the Bible terms is that another mighty angel. That means there was a lot more mighty angels, but this was one of the mighty angels. Another mighty angel came down from heaven. He was clothed with a cloud. His garment now was a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. I noticed the little book was open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Alright, now, how have you got time to listen to this? You going to give me a little time now if I try to expound just a little bit of it? Alright. Notice now, I expressed this morning that this angel was in a place of mediation. He was in a place of in-between. You know, to be able to bring a revelation, you've got to be in the in-between place. Are you following me now? You can't just be out there in the world, because there is no revelation out there in the world. But yet you've got to be relative to the world to be able to get something out of heaven and transfer it over to the people. See, you've got to be relative to humanity to be able to communicate with humanity. That's the way Jesus was. In other words, Jesus was relative to his fellow man. He was made in the likeness of his fellow man. He was relative to humanity. And because he was relative to humanity, he could communicate with humanity. So then when we think of Jesus, we think of the God or the part of God that is relative to the earth and to mankind. Isn't that right? Jesus is the part of God that is relative to his fellow man, to his creation, and to the earth. That's what Jesus is. He is that part of God which is relative to humanity. But the Christ is that part of God which is not relative to humanity, but relative to heaven. You understand? So then the part of God that's relative to humanity, that foot is upon the land. That Jesus part, made like unto his brethren in all things. But that Christ part that's relative to heaven, that is God standing with the other foot on the sea, which is the Spirit. So then for God to do anything for me, He's got to reach up into heaven and bring things down to my level. And the only way He can do that is through a blood atonement. There's got to be something that will cover my sins while we are having communication. There is no way that a dustling or a man made out of the dust can communicate with God without blood atonement. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Aaron communicated with God. So did Moses. And Jesus had never been slain at that time. But according to the Bible, He was already slain. The Bible said the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. There would have been no communication from God to anybody on the earth, even Abraham, if it had not been for the blood atonement. There had been no translation of Enoch had it not been for the blood atonement. Job could never have been called a perfect man, nor Noah, if it had not been for God seeing him through the blood atonement. For there is none good, no, not one. All of them must be recognized through the blood atonement. Is that right? The Bible doesn't say that Noah's family found grace in the sight of God, but Noah found grace in the sight of God, being a type of Jesus. And it was through the grace that Noah found in the eyes of God that the family made it in. That's the only way that you and I get in, is through the grace that Jesus found in the sight of God. Is that right? All right. So then we see that we are a different people. We're not like anybody else. We're different folks. We've got to recognize the fact that we are different. We are not like the world. We are different. What are we? We are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. We are intercessors. We are mediators for God. We're standing in the place of Christ or Jesus, mediating between man and God. Standing in Christ's stead, the Bible tells us. Beseeching the world to be reconciled to God. That's why Paul used the term, said, pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. Why should I have to pray that God will grant repentance unto a drunkard, unto a harlot, unto a businessman, unto those that are unconcerned? Why should I have to pray? Because God will not reach them unless I do pray. See, God cannot get to them. God has no fellowship with the wicked. Somebody would say, well, God can go down there and talk to them as good as He can you. No, He can't. God cannot do that. God can talk to me through the blood atonement. But what about them? He can't have communication with them. Is that right? God is angry with the wicked every day. God will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. All of the Baptists, the Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, whatever. If they're not living holy and walking upright before God, their prayers are abomination in the sight of God. All of their offerings, all of their missionary efforts is abomination in the sight of God. He said they're wicked. Their offerings are abomination in the sight of God. We've got to live holy, that our offerings will be right in the sight of God. He said, bring the firstborn, but don't bring him unless he's without spot, without blemish. You understand? God will not receive an offering unless it's without spot, without blemish. So then we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. And somebody to offer a peculiar offering unto God that is well-pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. Why did God refuse Cain's offering? Why did He do that? Somebody said, well, I believe He'll receive the Methodist offering just like He will the Pentecostal offering. Well, tell me one thing. Why did He refuse Cain's offering? Cain offered him an offering. Why didn't He say, well, it doesn't matter about you, Cain, at least your heart must be right in the offering because you came that far. God wouldn't receive it. Isn't that right? Cain was wrong. God said if your heart was right with God, would not have received your offering. But He received Abel's. Isn't that right? So then God doesn't want anything from the wicked. God is angry with the wicked. God lets the grace come down upon him. Lets the rain of heaven come down upon him. Not because He loved them. He's angry with them every day. But He lets it come down upon them because that's the only way that He can feed the wheat, is to let the rain come down on the tares. If He plucks up the tares, then He'll get some of the wheat. There's people that's got confidence in tares. How many of you know that? There's people that's got Calvinists and Methodists, Baptists, whatever. And if you put one of them, you say something about one of them, then they jump up and say, well, I know they've got salvation. You understand what I'm saying? So God just has to let the rain come down on all of them, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Especially at those that stand at the door. Who are those that stand at the door? Religious people. Religious people. Not those people out yonder in the world that are sinners. It's religious people. Because you come to the door of religion. It's religious people that God is more upset at than anybody else. They come to the door. That is, they come to the Word of God, which is the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And they come to a religious thing, and they look in there, but they won't go into holiness. They won't live right. They won't change their lives. They won't go in, and everybody else that comes, they hinder them. Somebody said, well, it's all by grace. We don't have to live holy. We don't have to dress holy. We don't have to do anything in the body. All of it's by grace. And so then they turn people around and they get people confused and people don't know which way to go. And what makes it so bad, I made a prediction years ago that they'd all go Pentecostal. And what makes it so bad, not only have they stood at the door, not living right, blinding the others that come, but now they're trying to incorporate Pentecost in what they're doing. They're trying to bring the gifts in and prophesy and speak in tongues. And take the gifts and everything else. What are they? A bunch of thieves and robbers. That's what they are. A bunch of thieves and robbers. They've turned the house of God into a place of money changers. How do you understand what I'm saying? They stand at the door and they won't go in, and everybody else has come in, so they're hindered. Now they try to tell people that they got the infilling of the Holy Ghost because they speak in tongues. But they don't live right. They watch all the ungodliness that comes on TV, they said they drank it down because they got a spirit like that. They love that kind of thing. They love to go to the frolics of the world. They love to go to the racetracks. They love to go to all the big to-dos of the world. Get down along the beach, frolic up and down the beach, half naked, and say that they got the Holy Ghost. God doesn't dwell in an unclean temple. You don't frolic around like that and God live inside of you, folks. You're clean. Through the word that was spoken to you, Jesus said. And you've got to be a holy vessel, a clean vessel. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, it doesn't matter about the body. Well, if it doesn't matter about the body, what are you so concerned about it for? Why do you work for it? Why do you feed it? Why do you give it a bed to lay down on? Why do you bother so much about it? Why do you comb your hair so much and wash your face and powder your nose if it don't matter so much about it? Let me tell you something. My Bible tells me to be holy in body, and in spirit. Is that right? That means a person can be holy in the body as well as in the spirit. So then God wants an offering that's well-pleasing to God. All of this charismatic thing that's sweeping over the world, you watch what I'm telling you. I know that there's good people that's mixed up in it, but that is a move of the devil. It is a religious move of the devil, and we spoke of it before it come, and it's come to pass exactly like we said. Those people haven't got the Holy Ghost. It's in a day of grace that we're in, folks. We're in a day of grace, and God can reach out because of this day of grace and make allowance for those tares to continue on the way they're doing until he can reap the fields. You understand what I'm saying? Them people don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Them people don't have the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible said, let him that bears the vessels of God and the things of God be clean and holy. Hallelujah! God said, be holy, for I am holy. If you're not holy, you need to get holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Let us go on to perfection. There's something you need to do, ladies. You say, what is it? You need to change the mode of your dressing and start dressing like a saint instead of a haint. Amen. You say, what do you mean I ain't? Well, you know what I mean. Somebody said, well, where do you get a haint out of it? Well, it's one thing about it, there ain't but two kinds of spirits. Is that right? And that's either a spirit of a saint or a spirit of a haint. And if you are not a saint, then you must be the other one. And the only way you can identify your spirit as being a saint is with the Word of God. So that if you're not with the Word of God, then that means something's wrong. Men, you need to make a change. Amen. You need to make a change. You say, what do I need to do, Brother Pike? Get your mind on God. Get your mind on God. There's something to do for God. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of women. Get your mind off of money. Get your mind off the world. Get your mind off of yourself and get your mind on God. There's a job to be done and there's a great reward for it if you'll get your mind on God. Like a song said, keep your eyes on Jesus and He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. All right. Now, this angel was standing in an in-between place. Why is that? Because, see, if we preach the gospel, we've got to go out into the realms of infinity. We've got to get way out there in the realms of infinity where scientists can't get to. We've got to cross the boundaries of worlds. We've got to get out there in the spirit. And we've got to bring something back to you that you've never heard before. We've got to bring something back to you that's not recorded in the book. If it's recorded in the book, it's not a revelation. It is a recording of the printed page. But we've got to get into infinity. We've got to get something that you don't get in school. Something you don't get in college. Something you don't get in conversation. We've got to get in the Spirit. Get something from God to bring back to feed the people. A revelation. Hallelujah. Christ had to get something yonder out of that world. That's what a revelation is. It's something you can't find recorded. It's not recorded in the books. It's not seen in the birds. It's not seen in the trees. It's not seen in the stars. It's not seen in the building. All of that's natural. All of that's tangible. All of that's perishable. But folks, a revelation is something that is not recorded in this world. You can't find it anywhere. It's something that God gives. Hallelujah. That He's revealed it to us by Spirit. It is abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. It's up yonder in the heavens somewhere. Brother Pike can't think it. I can't learn it. I can't work my way to it. I can't fast my way to it. I can't pray my way to it. I've got to trust in God and humble my heart, and God will hear from heaven and give me a revelation. He will hear from heaven and heal my lands because I trust in Him. All right. So then this angel that I spoke of this morning, and this morning I got in the revelational side of it. But this angel, he had one foot on the land. He had one foot on the sea. And about that time there was a voice. And the voice bellowed out like a great lion. Roar it went. And the thunders went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And John jumped up, so to speak, and started to ride. And the voice said, wait a minute, John. Hallelujah. What is that? Wait a minute, John. This is not to be recorded in the book. This is a revelation. No writings on this, John. Hallelujah. Paul said, pray God will give you the spirit of revelation. God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Hold on, John. Nobody's going to pin this and put it in a book. Hallelujah. This is what I, Jesus, have to say to my wife. I'm telling her this myself. Nobody's going to carry it for me. Hallelujah. I'm going to whisper sweet things to her myself. Hallelujah. Don't write them thunders, John. In the hour when the time comes, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angels, that mystery will be unveiled. I'll bring it forth in an utterance of revelation myself. Somebody would say, but now, hold on to the pipe. You just said that nobody's going to convey this to them. But I, Jesus, I'm going to tell them myself. You said John couldn't write the book because of that. I know that. But when that preacher starts preaching and that preacher gets anointed, it's not that preacher talking, but it's God speaking to His people. It's God speaking from heaven. Hallelujah. And He's saved, it's not penning it in the book. Now, light going out into infinity. We go out into infinity. What do? We break the gravitational powers of earth. We get away from the old carnal perspectives of life. And this inner man on the inside, he gets elevated. And he pulls away. And he gets way up into the heavens. And the old outer man, he's broken fellowship with him. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with God. Is that right? Way up into the heavens. Goes way up into the heavens, like the astronauts. Breaks loose from this old body. And he gets way up there. Hallelujah. And he begins to see things that you don't see. Your eyes can't reach it. You can't see it. But there he is up there in the midst of it, and he sees it. Going out into infinity. You understand what I mean? Going out, breaking a loose from the things that shackle us, that bind us to the earth. We've got to get loose from it. Break loose from it. Understand how to get loose from it. That anointing breaks the yoke. That inner man, he goes off to be with God. He sails up into the heavens, and there he is, broke loose from this old gravitational drag back of carnal reasoning. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? See, it's like scientists say, we were discussing it today, gravitation that holds the brick to the ground. Gravitation that holds the rock to the ground. It's not that the rock is that heavy, but the rock's got something on the inside of it that makes it relative to Mother Earth. And if you can eliminate those elements that's in that rock, it would sail around like a feather. Is that right? Look at them on the moon. They get up around the moon, take a great big boulder, let it take a Samson to pick up. One man picks it up and holds it in his hand. Same thing, it's a rock. They bring it from the moon back down here, put it in a museum, then you try to pick it up. When it gets to these rims of gravitation, what do we got to do? Get out of Satan's territory. Hallelujah! Get away from Satan's spirit. Get into the mind of God. Get into the Spirit of God. Get into that anointing Christ. Then we feel light like Peter and we start walking on the water. Hallelujah! Breaking the gravitational powers of earth. What is it? Take a feather, a bunch of feathers, the same size of a rock. They're not heavy like the rock. Is that right? Take a ball of feathers the same size of a rock. They're not as heavy as the rock. Because the elements that are in them is not as relative to Mother Earth. Let the wind come along and give a good puff, and the feather will just sail off in the breeze. Throw the rock out into the wind, down it goes. Is that right? And it won't be picked up unless you send a tornado along. Is that right? So then, there is something that God is trying to do. What is it? He wants you to break loose from that old thing called the world. He wants you to get rid of the pattern, the paint, and your relativities to that Jezebel out yonder and straighten up with God. He wants you men to get out of them sissy tight pants and act like a man. Hallelujah. You ladies act like a lady. Check up. The midnight hour is rolling around. Break that relativity with the world. We're not of the world. Somebody sit down. Wait a minute, Brother Pike. Why do I have to break that relativity to the world? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Why do I have to do that? Because I'm going to be raptured. Hallelujah. That's that rapture power. When I feel that rapture of God, that moving of God, that quickening of God, I feel that broken thing between me and Mother Earth, and I feel myself going out into infinity, coming out of the great realms of God. That rapture taking place. I'm relative to heaven. The song said, akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. I'm relative to heaven. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't get all puffed up. You're relative to old Mother Earth. I'm relative to heaven. Hallelujah. That part of me that's relative to Mother Earth, I crucified it through Calvary, and I laid it away and I buried it in the water. And it has no power over this Christ inside of me. They said, Lord, we're amazed. Oh, he said, just hold on. I'll show you something else. Glory to God. They said, we're amazed. Just hold on. He said, there's something else coming. He said, a little while, you're going to see the angels going and coming on the Son of Man. I can go up and I can come down. Hallelujah. I can go in and out at will. You understand what I'm saying? See, there was something about that angel. He was standing there. He was relative to both sides. But he had conquered the earthly side. Jesus was relative to the earthly side, the first man Adam. For the Bible said he made in himself twain. I'll run over this right quick now. He made in himself twain, which means two. And the Bible said that he was the temple of the living God. Because when they said, destroy the temple, Jesus said, destroy it. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they, being natural minded, understood not that he spake of his body. And so they took it and they hang it on Calvary. And when they hang it on Calvary, there it was rent in twain. The veil of the temple was rent. Isn't that right? The veil of the temple was rent in twain. In two. Separated. The Lord separated from the Christ. The Jesus separated from the Christ. Rent in twain, rent in two. The Jesus went one way and the Christ went another way. You understand what I'm saying? You say, where do you get that? The Bible said, Peter said, this concerning Jesus, that he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. And when God got ready to rend the veil, they hung him at Calvary, and the twain that he was, God rent it. Why did he do it? To take the old body which was of Mother Earth, the part of us which is dust, and lay it away out of his sight and put it beneath the water and beneath the blood. When he rent it in twain, my old man died. Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed by the body of Jesus Christ. I am dead by that body. My body, my outer part, was taken away from my inner Christ, my inner life. It was crucified at Calvary and laid down to rest beneath the dust. And God never sees it anymore. That image. He said, I will despise your image in the morning. Reckoning time from evening until morning, since Adam fell into the darkness, he's looking for the dawning of the day. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Rise up and trim your lamps. The midnight cries come, and the next part's going to be the dawning of the day. Isn't that right? Get ready for the cock crowing. How do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. in the morning, if your image is that fallen, depraved image of Adam, if you've never been regenerated, if you've never been born again, if that image has not been taken away at Calvary and planted beneath the dirt, I will despise your perverted, bastard image in the morning. But when that image is taken away by faith in Calvary, believing that God has laid it away through Christ, then when it's buried, then it's not me that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. I am bone of his bone, I am flesh of his flesh. I have the mind of Christ. It is not me speaking, but God. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And when he sees this image in the morning, he will not despise it. My glory I will not give to the bastard image, which is another. But my glory belongs to my Son, which is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Hallelujah. We are not another. And the temple was rent in twain. For the angel was 1 foot on the land, and the angel was 1 foot on the sea. And there it was. As he stood there, he knew, as it was at Calvary, that the veil was fixing to be rent. And when the veil was rent, that which was natural would be laid away. And when that which was natural was laid away, that would be the end of time. Because time has nothing to do with the spiritual man at all. He that is spiritual is not bound by time elements. He's not relative to time elements. He's not of this world. He's the second man, the Lord from heaven. Adam was made of the dust. He came out of the dust. He was relative to the dust. He sinned and went back to the dust. From the dust I art, and to the dust I shall return. Why did he do that? Because the people of today, they are the first man Adam. They that have fallen for grace, from grace, are under the law. They are the first man Adam. Everyone that's never been born again, you're in the Shekinahs I brought out on the tape this morning in the message. You are in the presence of the Shekinah. You've got the glory of God over you. God is letting you live in a land of milk and honey. But your image is a bastard image. It's a perverted image. It's born to the fallen seed of the serpent from the garden through the knowledge of the warped up twisted tree that Eve got a hold of. It is a bastard image. You are the first man, Adam. You are despised in God's sight. You're made of the dust. You're relative to the dust. You came out of the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return, Adam. But that second man is not of the dust. That second man is the Lord from glory. And he is relative to heaven. And old Mother Earth hath no hold on him. Mary came around and she took a look. And no doubt in my mind she might have screamed out, Jesus, my darling son. But Jesus said, Mother Earth, not anymore. Hallelujah. Said, go tell him his mother wants to talk with him. No more. No more. Said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Amen. You can stand and look at my beauty, but don't touch me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not born to Mary, like the Catholic Church said. No, sir. Somebody said, but that was Jesus. That was Christ. That was Christ. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. Don't touch me. I must be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Don't touch me and spot me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. I'm that lamb without spot. You understand what I'm saying? So then there was a rending of the veil. The Lord was separated from the Christ. The angel with 1 foot on the land and 1 on the sea. I brought out this morning so very clearly that when the body is finished, that is the end of sin. Because the law hath no power over the Spirit. How do you know that the law hath no power over the Spirit? The law hath no power over the Spirit. You cannot sin, children of God. You cannot sin. How can you sin? No son of God could ever sin. No daughter of the Lord could sin. How can he sin? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I sin every day. If you sin every day, you are of the devil, because the Bible said if you sin, you're of the devil, because the devil sinned from the beginning. He that is born of God, he cannot sin. Why is it he can't sin? Because the law doesn't have any power over him. And the transgression of the law is sin. There is no way he can sin. Because he is dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. God killed that part of him that could sin and laid it away. And the law hath power over a man as long as he liveth. Is that right? As long as he liveth. But if he is dead, what can the law do to him? Hallelujah. What can the law do to him? He is free from the law. Therefore, he is free from transgression. He is free from the things that are imposed upon him by the law. He cannot sin because he is dead by his bodily part to the law. And transgression of the law is sin. If there is no sin, I remind you again in this message that I'm preaching, there is no death. That's what the revelation was that Paul said was out of season. It couldn't be preached. He said, I saw it, but it couldn't be preached. But I show you a mystery, Paul said. It's a mystery, but someday the mystery shall be finished. What is the mystery, Paul? That we shall not all sleep, but be changed. The conquering of death. I show you a mystery. I can't preach it. It's out of season. But wait till Brother Pike comes. Wait till Brother Dahl comes. Wait till Brother Taylor comes. Hallelujah. I show you a mystery. Not everybody's going to them graves. Not everybody's going to them graves. I show you a mystery. Not all of us is going to sleep. Some of us is going to be changed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when is it going to happen? It's got to happen sometime. Why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Like the song said, it's a good time for Jesus to come. Hallelujah. I don't know the better time. Hallelujah. I said today, one of these days, and it ain't far around the corner. Hallelujah. Old Dad's going to get up out of the ground. You just watch. Yes, he is. That little old gray-haired fellow that went around on the little old stick, he's going to get up out of the ground and he ain't going to be hobbling either. Amen. What a day. The song said, what a day that shall be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, he that saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me into that promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that shall be. You talking about a jubilee. You think we're having services in this world. You think you've been in some revivals. You wait till that little baby gets up out of the grave and that empty arm of that mother that's been longing for it through the years as she gets to that little one. You wake up those sons and daughters and mothers and daddies and loved ones. Get up out of the grave. And brother, you talking about a jubilee. Ooh. Hallelujah. Some little mother, a little boy 5 years old that stole her heart. And one day it closed its loving little eyes and laid down in a casket. And they put it beneath the shawl while Mama was reaching and searching and pleading, trying to get a hold of it. But one day it'll come up and Mama's going to see it. It's coming, folks. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm talking about God. He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm talking about the resurrection. Somebody said, now calm down. Now don't get beside yourself, Brother Pine. Just calm down. We know that by and by he'll be here if we'll keep on watching. Oh, just calm down. Mary, she calmed down, and the little sister calmed down. By and by, we know he'll live again, Jesus. Jesus said, my. Oh, my. You need a revelation, Mary. You need a revelation. The resurrection and the life, it's already here. It's here, my brother. Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. You need a resurrection. You need a revelation. You need to know that we pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. Don't you feel alive? Glory to God, you ought to feel alive. The quickening. Said if the spirit of that resurrection be in you, you'll feel it go like that. The quickening. You ever felt it do you like that? Oh, hallelujah. The resurrection and the life. I'm talking about a living gospel. I'm not talking about something worked up on the organ. I'm talking about God. Hallelujah. That angel had one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And he raised his hand to heaven. And he said, John, you need a revelation. Glory to God. He said, John, you done got up here in a place you ain't never been before. Now, I'm just putting in my own words, you know. You done got up here to where you haven't ever been before. Boy, you don't know what it's like up here. It's different up here than what it is down there. You done come out of them slums down there, and you're living over here on Glory Avenue now. And we do things different up here. Amen. John said, I better put that in the book. Amen, you know. I better get that wrote down. Give me another sermon. Amen. Don't jump on me. Somebody said it's quoted in such and such and such. But it wasn't written in the book. There is no quote you can go to. It's got to be God. There's a revelation of today. Fresh manna from heaven every day. It ain't wrote in the book. It ain't on the records. And as I said this morning, even Brother William Branham, the mighty prophet of God that walked the earth, he couldn't write it and put it in a book. He said, I saw them thunders, but I couldn't understand them. They were as in an unknown language. If they was in an unknown language, how in the name of heaven did he finish the mysteries of God? How did he finish the mysteries of God if he said it was a mystery to him? That was the very place the angel said the mysteries would be finished, was the seven thunders, the sounding of the thunders. That was the finishing of the mysteries. Hallelujah. What was it? What was that angel looking at? That angel saw one thing. In other words, he said, John, brother, you've done come up to a place higher than anybody else. You done got up here to the angelic world. Now, John, you done stepped across the boundaries of the world. There ain't no more time to you. There ain't no more time to you. Now listen, folks. There ain't no more time to you, John. You done got up here. Enoch, you done got too close to heaven, son. You can't stay down there. Moses, you got too close to God. Go down there and tell him I'm just going to have to take you on home. Amen. Elijah, son, you done got too close to the boundaries of the world. Go back there and tell them folks they'll have to get them another one. Amen. You done got into so much here. You'll have to hurry because the fire chariot's on its way, Elijah. Have to get ready. Glory to God, get ready. The chariots are coming. Ooh, the chariots are coming. Amen. Fire chariots and prancing horses. Fire chariots and prancing horses. Get ready.
The days of the Gentiles is over. It's ready. The fiery chariots are standing ready. Step on board. Step on board. Hallelujah. Step on board. Hallelujah. Got to wind the Jews up and turn them loose. The Gentiles can't stay around here no longer. Got to have a testimony in the earth. Get them Jews a-going. Hallelujah. Something taking place, folks. Amen. And Enoch was translated. How was he translated? The same way that you're being translated. By believing. By believing. How was you translated? How was I translated? The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. How was you translated? Somebody said, Brother Pike, have I been translated? The Bible said, God hath translated you into His marvelous kingdom. He has chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. I remind you again, Jesus said, Nicodemus, I am in heaven. You might be looking at me, but I'm standing in the glory world. In heaven, standing. I tell you, every time I think about that, I get to feeling so woozy. Standing in the heavenly world. Whew. Jesus standing there talking to Nicodemus. And he said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. No man's ever went up there but the Son of God. No man's ever come down from there but the Son of God. He said, I ascended up and I came down and I'm still standing here in heaven. Is that right? No man has ever ascended into heaven but Jesus Christ. No man could come down from heaven but Jesus Christ, like that, in human body. And he said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Oh, and if somebody said, now don't get beside yourself, Brother Pike. You don't believe you can be down here and me looking at you and be in heaven. Anytime you're in the Spirit, you're in heaven. Is that right? John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God ain't got but one day. What kind of day is that? That eternal day. The Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the only day God's got. Isn't that right? That's the day he rested. Is that right? He doesn't work. He doesn't create through that great eternal day. It's all over. How do you understand what I'm saying? Give me just a few more minutes and a little sip of water and I'll close out. It'll take me just a few minutes. All right, let's look at it just for a few minutes now. The angel, what did he do? See, like the rock, the gravitational powers is broke. It isn't the weight of the rock. It isn't the weight of the rock at all. The rock can float around. It isn't the weight of the rock. It isn't that. It's the rock has got too much of that which is relative to the earth. And it ties it and puts it in a prison. So then what is it? What is it? The trees around me, why are they a prison to me? Why is the worldly environment a prison to me? Why can't I get out of it? Why can't I go through it? Why can't I walk through the wall? Why can't I? Somebody said, well, any lame brain knows that's a hard cement wall. But it didn't bother Jesus a bit. Hard or what not, he just walked right through it. Somebody said, well, he was a spirit, but the Bible said flesh and bones. Come on now, let's stay with the Word. Somebody said, well, he can do it because he was a spirit. I know the Bible said God made him a quickening spirit. I know that. But how many of you know that the Word, which was God, the Word, the Spirit, the beginning, was made flesh? I'm talking about some spirit flesh now, some spirit bone. Is that right? Said he walked through the wall. They said, oh my, only a spirit could do that. Nobody here in this world could do that. Jesus said, come on, fill him and see. I'm flesh and bone. The Spirit don't have flesh and bone like you see me have. Isn't that right? But he walked through it. What was the difference? See, he was not relative to the things of the world. See, the world exists. I want to say this again. The world exists in your heart. There is no world except in your heart. What you behold with your eyes is not with these eyes, but eyes of understanding. It is your worldly understanding that puts you in the environment of tangible matter and imprisons you in that. It is your believing That is a derivative from your thinking. And your thoughts is from the tree of knowledge. When Adam and Eve fell into that prison. But when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he was not imprisoned by his thoughts. It isn't the wall that you can't walk through. It's your thoughts you can't walk through. Oh, somebody said, that crazy fella. Now you're talking about you can't walk through your thoughts. It isn't the wall. Why does science say mind over matter? I believe they're right. How do you believe scientists is right? I believe they're right. It's mind over matter. That stone wall is a matter. That's form of matter. Mind over matter. I believe they're right. I believe they made one mistake. And I've said this a number of times to the audience. I believe it's God's mind over matter instead of man's mind over matter. I believe it's God's mind that spoke matter into existence. I believe it's God's mind that can make it compose or decompose. I believe it's the mind of God, the mind of Christ in us, that can make us walk right through the walls. There ain't no grave going to hold this body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'll come up out of the ground. There ain't no grave going to hold this body down. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was not imprisoned by the carnal mind. He had defeated it at Calvary. His thoughts had no more bondage over him. That world did not exist to Jesus. See, his thoughts didn't block him anymore. His thoughts didn't imprison him anymore. Now, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that a person's thoughts can be a prison. Well, why does the Bible say jealousy is as cruel as the grave? How do you believe the grave's a prison? What is jealousy? Thoughts. Is that right? So then, the world is in a man's heart. The Bible said God set the world in a man's heart. It's his thinking. He is imprisoned to his thoughts because of his believing by the fall in the garden. But when we get God's Spirit, then we have the kingdom of God within us. The kingdom of God don't come by tangible matter. You're not going to say, here's a tree and there's a brook and yonder's a stream, and that's the kingdom of God. What does the ocean have to do with the kingdom of God? What does trees have to do with the kingdom of God? That's the kingdom of man. That's not the kingdom of God. God is a spirit. He said the kingdom of God don't come by worldly, tangible matter. He said, I'm a spirit. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's up yonder. Said Satan is the prince of this world. See, it's a matter of the believing. Enoch was translated by faith. It was his believing. What caused Eve to fall to start with? Her believing. God said, Eve, don't you dare do it. Adam, don't you do it. And a voice said, Eve, don't believe that. Believe what I say. Do it. Eve believed it and done it. The minute she disbelieved God's word, down she went. Isn't that right? She went down. When she turned back to Adam, she said, Adam, believe me. The voice of Satan speaking through her. Adam believed her. Down Adam went. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. To be carnally minded is death. It's a prison. It's a grave. To think in your own reason. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in God, in the mind of Christ with all of your heart. Let this mind of life be in you. My thoughts are words of spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desire of the flesh. And Jesus got that mind of God and there was no more world. He had got the world out. The world was gone. Get the world out of your heart and you find yourself in heaven, folks. Amen. You find yourself in heaven. And you are a gate to heaven. Like they said when I opened the gates and said, come on in. Lift up your head, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. Hallelujah. And them people out in yonder that's got the world in their heart, the Bible said they're the gates to hell. Every time they open their mouth, they're a suck hole. It pulls people into the dark, deep pits of ever learning and never being able to find the truth knowledge of God's word. Isn't that right? But he said them gates of hell won't prevail against these gates of heaven. Amen. They can't prevail. That's right. So then we are gates to heaven through bowels of compassion. They're gates to the pit when you listen to them. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then it is a matter of thoughts. When he come up out of the grave, he walked right through the wall because there wasn't any wall. That world had diminished. His thoughts as an earthly man projected a formated image. His thoughts projected a formated image. And that formated image become a prison. And it wasn't the prison. It was his thoughts that built the prison. It wasn't a prison of its own accord, but it was a prison because his thoughts had built his environment. His thoughts built his environment. Don't you agree that your thoughts determine your environment? Come on now. You get all jealous and you got a jealousy environment and a suspicion and everything else. Isn't that right? You get temperamental and you got a murder environment and a hatred environment and a killer's environment. Is that right? But you get jubilant in God and you got a holy environment and a righteous world of an environment. Isn't that right? Your thoughts create your environment, whether it be a prison or whether it be the world of liberty. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What is it? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice forevermore. Be strong in the power of my might. Believe that you pass from death unto life. Believe that I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Believe that I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Believe that you're without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Believe that I've chosen you out of this world and hid you in Christ, with Christ and God, up in the heavens. Believe that you passed away from this old body of death to that spiritual life of God. Believe it. That's how you get into it. That's what translation is. It's from glory to glory. Every time I hear something of the Spirit, I believe it. I'm done changed over. And I hear something else, I believe it. Done changed over. And I hear something else, I'm done changed over. Every step right on into God. From glory to glory, from light to light, from revelation to revelation, my change from one step to another, into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. What is that liberty of the world of thought in God? Don't you feel free? Don't you just feel free all over? Amen. See, he feels free. What caused him to do that? He believed it. That's the difference. I want you to stand together with me. A lot of things I'd like to say, but you've been a good audience. I feel the cold's dying down a little bit. Many times, Jesus, knowing the power of faith in that the Spirit, the great eternal Spirit, had placed itself under the constraint of human believing, that is, Christ's faith in the human heart. Knowing that many times Jesus would come to a needy home or a needy person, and he would say to that person, they say, Lord, my little baby's dying. He'd say, have faith. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Now, I'm a man. I can't do nothing. Somebody said, now Jesus could do it. The Bible said many mighty miracles he could not do because they didn't believe. Because of unbelief. He was a man. The Son of Man. But he said, have faith. If you'll just have faith and don't disbelieve. Now, believe. He said, after a while there'll be something come whirling down from glory. That invisible power, that invisible feeling, that wonderful anointing of heaven. You just believe now. I'm telling you, you just believe. You believe. And you believe, and after a while something will say, shoo, and that little lady will get up from there. She'll feel all right. Just believe. It's at our fingertips. It's at our fingertips. Reach over and touch the Lord. Can we sing it? Reach out and touch the Lord. As he goes by, you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. For he's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Oh, reach out and touch my Lord as he goes by. Sing it again. Reach out and touch the Lord
As he goes by, you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply, just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Don't you love Jesus? Can you touch him tonight? I want to sing this little chorus, and while we sing it, I want you to just step out and gather around the altar for just a few minutes with him. Let's sing it.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
Sing it with me.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Isn't it wonderful? I'm glad there is room at the cross for me. I'm glad God didn't forget me. The man hanging at Calvary said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom, oh God, to remember me." I'm glad that he remembered me. Hallelujah, I feel God's wonderful presence. I feel his glory. Something is taking place. The saints of God are translating from glory to glory. The world doesn't understand it. But we're moving on from light to light and from glory to glory into the glorious images of the sons of God. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? While the church world is sitting out yonder supporting some preacher, which preacher is telling them that all they've got to do is wait, wait, wait. While they're doing that, the saints of God are hearing the gospel of the truth, and they're translating from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Not waiting. God said, "Moses, what are you doing standing still? Get up and go. Church world, why don't you move?" It's no time to stand still. Let's be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe you do believe it. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? This is one I like to sing because it is true.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.